This week's mailbag comes to us from Melinda. I am so thankful for my Sunday basket. I was cleaning up a bit tonight as we are having family over for dinner tomorrow. I didn't get a few things done today, and my day is really busy tomorrow. So my Sunday basket came in handy tonight. I was able to put a few notes in it of things I didn't want to forget, and I was also able to put a few small containers in it instead of tucking them away someplace where I would forget about them. This basket is the perfect place to put things when you want them out of sight for now, while knowing you'll get to them within 1 week without forgetting about them. Everyone needs at least one of these baskets. Even if they are naturally an organized person, why didn't I have one of these decades ago?
Do you have an organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organize365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organize 365.
Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Oh my goodness, the paper solution is finally here. Virtually run to your favorite book retailer and get your copy. The paper solution is the proven step-by-step guide for what to shred, what to save, and how to sort all the paper you've been saving in boxes, bins, piles, and files. 85% of the papers you saved can be purged. The paper solution will hold your hand as you start your own big paper sort and your weekly Sunday basket routine. In celebration of the Paper Solution book launch this month, I'm going to deep dive into the 15% of papers you'll want to save. Only, I don't counsel you to save them in files. We are ditching the filing cabinet and storing our savable papers in organized, portable binders. America is a paper-based society. We can have less paper, but we will never be paperless. Listen as I dive into another paper pile to help you get it sorted. Okay, I promise we'll stop talking about binders after this Friday, but oh my gosh, you guys, binders have literally changed my life. I know, so dramatic, but seriously, you know, if you've switched from files to binders, you're with me, right? Like, It's so nice to be able to update your binders by grabbing a binder and a couple of slash pockets full of information or a pile of information. And I like to sit on my bed and watch TV while I do it, or you might do it at the kitchen table, or you could even do it out back on the back patio or in your backyard. Like, you don't have to sit in the basement or the storage room and go through file after file or drag up heavy files up to another room and go through all this information that no one needs and no one's ever going to reference ever again. Like, freeing myself from my filing cabinet was such a liberation. For so many years, I felt like there had to be a filing cabinet solution. Like, surely I was doing it wrong. Like, I tried everything. I tried color coding it. I tried hanging files. I tried files inside of files. I tried a nicer filing cabinet. I tried multiple filing cabinets. And I just could not keep up with the papers that were in files. And, you know, I really thought about it. I thought about it just like we organize our closets or just like you organize anything else. The only way to get true organization is to completely empty the space so that you look at the items differently. You don't have to empty out your entire closet, but you know it's true. If you look in your closet at your jeans and your pants, you're like, I can get rid of one or two pairs. If you take all of your jeans and your pants out of your closet and put them on your bed and then put each pair on your body, you get rid of at least twice as much, if not half of the pants that you pulled out of the closet because they don't fit. They're no longer your style. They're ripped, they're torn, whatever. And you will get rid of them because they are out of your closet. If you just look at them inside your closet, the same thing doesn't happen. It's true for everything, you guys. It's not just your clothes. It's not because you're trying them on and you're not happy with what happened with your body. It's because it's no longer in its home. And if you pull all the paper out of the filing cabinet and you put them in your dining room and you start going through piece by piece, you're going to realize 85% of this can get out. It can go. We don't even need it. But then the 15% that's left, if you move it back into the old filing cabinet, it just does not stay maintained. I don't know how to explain it. Maybe you're better at it than I am, but it just never worked for me and never worked for my clients. So getting everything into just a few binders has worked amazingly well. One, to get down to the information that I actually needed, but also two, because it's so much easier to update my binders, and I update each one about every year. And I do them different ones in different seasons. So I always do the financial binder around tax time. And the binders I'm about to tell you about now for my kids, I always do those in July or August. So these binders that are left, these are optional binders. These are for if you have kids. And there are two different binders that I have for kids. One is for anybody who has kids, and this is the school memory binder. The school memory binder is in chapter 14 of The Paper Solution. It starts on page 222. And the free printable that we have for you inside of The Paper Solution is gold. It is absolute gold. It's called your school memory binder tracker. And this is where it's just an Excel spreadsheet, basically. And you put down the calendar year, like, so Joey was born in the year 2000. So I put down the calendar year 2000, your age, he's 0 years old, grade in school, zero, school year, and notes. But then when you get to 2006, so the year's 2006, Joey is 6 years old, his grade in school is kindergarten, and the school year is 2005 to 2006. This is why this is awesome. When you're going through your kids' school papers, school photos, work that they've done, awards that they've received, all of those papers that you save from school, they will have both grade on them and they will have date. And so if you're going to make your binder chronological, which you don't have to, but if you're going to, then 2006 is always going to have half of kindergarten and half of first grade. And it's going to have things that are 5 years old and 6 years old. So if they're 5 years old and it was kindergarten, is that 2006? Is it 2005? Anyway, it doesn't matter. This printable that you get with the purchase of The Paper Solution, when you print it out and fill one out for each of your kids, will make sorting your kids' school memories a breeze. So awesome. Now, I've seen school boxes where you can sort your kids' items by box. And honestly, that's what I had growing up. My mom bought this really cool box system. It was from Lily and Vernon. Was it from Lily and Vernon? Maybe, maybe not. I think it was, though. And I had one box. I had one box for first and second grade, another one for third and fourth, fourth and fifth. And I kept it in my bedroom. And I did go through all my school memories. I just love memories. And the boxes were great because I could put more bulky things in them. But I only went through them every once in a while. And Emily, I don't think, ever went through hers. Like, it's hard to go through a box and files again. But when you put your artwork and your schoolwork and your certificates and even the CDs from the computer programs and all of that into a binder, it's just so easy. It's so easy to grab it off of a bookshelf, sit down and flip through it. And the magic of doing a school binder totally does not have to be done chronologically. But the magic of having your kids' artwork and their writings and the letters that they've written all in one book is not even the binder when it's done. The magic is in watching your kids go through the binder. So whether you make it for them or they make it for themselves, hey, if you're schooling from home, add this into your curriculum, find all those papers, get them a binder with sheet protectors and have them put these together. It will be some of the best memories you have of this pandemic school year, I promise you. With every client I ever did this for and with my own children, once I had made these binders, and my kids sat down and looked at the binders, the stories that they will tell you, you have never heard before. Oh my gosh, I remember when I did this drawing and Johnny was sick and he kept coughing on me and oh, when I did this, you know, and they will tell you what was happening during their school day that you never got to see because you weren't with them while they were creating the works that they are looking at, the drawings, the writings. You know, I remember when I got this certificate, everybody else had already gotten one and I finally got mine and I was wearing my brand new red tennis issues, and it was the best day of that year. Like, things that you will have never heard before. And if you have more than one child, they will start to tell each other stories. Hey, do you remember when you had this teacher and you had to do this project? Yeah. And then they'll go in their binder and they'll find the same project and they'll talk about how, oh, that teacher was so awesome. I love how she taught us history, back and forth, whatever. So kids' school memory binders are super fun because what else are you going to do with all that paperwork? This is a perfect pandemic school project for you guys to do. Secondly, I don't know about you, but I still had all of my kids' school stuff like 10 years ago when I was making this for my kids. I had mine as well. And you might still be getting little gifts from your parents as they're cleaning out their basement and attic and storage areas of your childhood memories, even though you're 30, 40, 50 years old. You're all of a sudden, here's more memories for you. Here's more memories for you. I made a binder for Greg and I, a kids' memory binder for Greg and I. It has Greg in the beginning and me in the back. My baby album that my mom had made me was falling apart, and I had pilfered almost all the pictures out of that baby album over the years and making all the school projects about me. So there weren't very many pictures left in it. So I literally cut apart my baby album and I put it into sheet protectors inside of this binder. And I did the same with Greg's baby album. I found an article that Greg had written in high school about running cross country. And he, in his junior and senior year, won state for running cross country in the state of Ohio, which is really cool. I added in his certificates that he had from that. And I'm telling you guys, when I did this binder, I was like 45 and Greg was 50. And we're sitting there a couple nights in a row. He's like, read my paper about cross country. I'm like, read my thing about this. And we're reading each other's papers that we had written 30 years ago and laughing and telling stories about high school. When else? What are you saving this stuff for anyway? What, we still have these. Why do we still have these? Share the memories. Verbally share the memories. Relive your childhood experiences. Share them with your family. We have so much family togetherness time right now. Now is such a great time to pull out all those memories that we have. And then while you're going through them, in some cases, a lot of the artwork that you saved, a lot of the papers, a lot of it will be recycled and trashed. And that's totally fine. You don't have to keep everything. But one school memories binder for each of your kids, and then one for you and your spouse, it's really fun. It's fun for your kids. It's fun for you. And it represents a lot of work. So that is chapter 14. And then I want to also talk to you about chapter 15. So chapter 15 will not apply to everyone. This is about creating an IEP binder. And an IEP in the United States is an individual education plan or program, IEP. It's for kids that have learning disabilities or anything that would make it where they need to have an individualized learning plan in the school that just traditional education is not helping them achieve the standards. And both of my kids have had IEPs, and they both have IEP binders in Organize 365. We call that the Warrior Mama binder. If you're like, I think we need an IEP, or we just got an IEP, or I've never even really understood it, I have a whole masterclass about this. If you go to organize365.com/masterclass, you can look at past webinars that I've done that are about an hour long, and I have one about the Warrior Mama binder for IEPs. And your free printable inside of the paper solution for this is on page 236 and also included in your downloaded printables. And this is from my friend Diane, who owns ABC Pediatric Therapy here in Cincinnati, Ohio, which specializes in occupational, physical, and speech therapy. And she has here a developmental checklist that goes from 4 months to 12 months for fine motor, gross motor, and speech. And that's the one that you could see in the book. But I think when you download it, it goes older than that. It goes beyond 12 months. And both of my kids, when they were little, had developmental disabilities. So what does that mean? What's a developmental disability? Well, it just means that for whatever reason, it's just taking a little bit longer for these kids to get started. They might crawl a little bit later, talk a little bit later. Doesn't mean that they're not going to get these skills. It just means it's taking a little bit longer for these skills to emerge. And I loved using a developmental checklist with my kids because it showed me that while my kids were not necessarily developing the skills at the same age as their peers, they were developing the skills in the same order. And so instead of worrying about when, I just kept working on the next skill, the next skill, the next skill. So if you have kids or if you suspect your younger children may need a future IEP, that developmental checklist is really helpful. And then creating an IEP binder is super helpful. For those of you that have kids on IEPs or don't, a lot of the parents I know who have kids that have IEPs and their kids were schooling from home in the spring were able to see when their children were trying to do remote learning some additional supports that could be supported by the school that would help their child learn. Because right now, I mean, like it or not, if we're schooling from home, you do have the opportunity to see what is helpful and what hurts your child in their education, what their strengths are and what their deficiencies are, their attention span, and all of those things. I will say, if your children are struggling, here's some of the things that have helped my kids. If your kids are struggling with remote learning and you're teaching from home, let them chew gum. If you're okay with that, let them chew gum. There is something about having your mouth moving and chewing that gum that helps their brain as they're processing. I've just noticed that to be true. Let them have fidgets. So a fidget is like playing with a bouncy ball or silly putty, or in Abby's case, a ferret. Like, I'm not even kidding you. When we were doing homeschooling, as soon as she bought a ferret and I said, fine, you could play with your ferret while we're learning, her learning increased by 50%. But when I made her sit there and look at me, she just did not retain as much. But if she was sitting right next to me and she was just letting that ferret run through her hands, she would learn so much more. So if you have a dog, let them pet the dog while they're listening to the book on tape or whatever. So use animals, use fidgets, use, you know, chewing on gum, or if you have some other thing that would work for chewing. For Joey, he doesn't like a lot of lights. So he would have done really well with all the lights in his bedroom off and only the computer light on. I know it wouldn't work for me, but it does for him. Less lights, more lights, glasses, no glasses, laying on the floor, sitting on a bed, sitting at a desk. Which one is most productive? Sitting outside, sitting inside. And then Joey has a ringing in the ears. It's called tinnitus, and he's always had it, and he will always have it. And so in high school, it's actually written into his IEP that he had one headphone in his ear and the other one would just hang down. This was before AirPods. And he would just run low music, non-word music, into his ear, instrumental music. Or we always had fans on in our house. So just a little white noise in the hallway, we would put a fan on high, and it just creates that ambiance, that white noise background, which allows me to focus so much better than in a completely silent house. Those are a lot of things that you can implement at home and see what works and what doesn't work with your kids. And then when we are schooling from school and you can have them written into your IEP, or you need to have an IEP or know someone who needs an IEP, these are accommodations that seem, I don't know if they seem odd. They really help. They really help, and they don't involve changing the curriculum or adding another teacher or adding another expensive computer. Monitor your kids. Have them talk to you about what works and what doesn't work and why it works. I mean, the listening to music in your ear was so important for Joey that we were able to get an exception on his SAT test to be able to do it during the SAT, which is almost unheard of. But once you know that something really, really works for your kids and you could document it and you could support it and you can get a teacher or a doctor to agree and you get that in writing, then that will support that child all the way through. So look for the silver linings that are going on if we are schooling from home when you are listening to this. What are the things that you can observe right now that will help your child when we are back in a school setting and help them get further faster? All right, this is the last. This was the last one of my binders. I know you'd like me to talk about something else. I kind of am obsessed about paper, which is why I wrote The Paper Solution, and how binders are just, they're just so much better than a filing cabinet. They're portable. They're easier to update, easier to get information, easier to advocate when you have these different binders. But we are going to jump next week back into how do we increase our productivity. It's fall. Labor Day is coming. We're going into the fall season. The pandemic's been going on long enough. I'm recording this early, but I'm sure the pandemic is still going on. I have no idea what the state of the world is right now, but I know this. I know that the only thing that you and I have control over is ourselves. We don't even have control over the other people that live in our house. We can have influence, but we don't have control. And so we're going to focus on us in September. How do we get back to a good morning, afternoon, evening routine? What are the schedules, the routines, and the habits that are going to support us as we go into the fall and into this winter season when there is very little under our control other than our own selves?